Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. We are speaking with Christy Morgan, also known as the Blissful Chef. In the previous episode, Christy Morgan told us a whole lot about herself, her cookbook, and how she went vegan, and what she does nutritionally to be able to get her body from where it was to being able to be super sexy, uber hot, to compete on stage at the Naturally Fit Super Show in Austin, Texas. Now, in this episode, Christy is going to go over some of her chef secrets to making any simple vegan meal taste a whole lot better, as well as going over the most essential tools that everyone needs in the kitchen in order to make their food taste and feel gourmet. And don't forget the next episode that's coming up, where we're going to be going over Christy's exact workout routine that helped her create the body that made her look so good on stage in her competition. So, here we are with Christy Morgan, and enjoy. Well, you're working out, you're training, and you've got 7 meals to eat every single day, and you run a business. I got to say, you're probably a pretty busy person when you're transforming like that. So, and I know there's a lot of my listeners are also really busy too, and that's a barrier for them for trying to get in shape. And I know personally, convenience for me trumps all. And what's sad is I've got so much time. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't even work, and I still have. I can't bring myself to make things. I'm that lazy when it comes to food. But I wish I could make them taste better for myself. So you got any really good, super easy to create, but super tasty meals that you put together that fits your body transformation plan?
It's really all about the spices and creating, you know, things that you used to eat, but making them healthier. So for me, one thing I discovered that I really liked was barbecue tofu. Mm. So what I would do is, normally, you know, I would slather the barbecue sauce.
I love barbecue sauce.
Tofu. Yeah, of course. So good. So what I just decided to do is...
Now first, what kind of barbecue sauce?
Normally I would make my own, but since I was being super lazy, I like Organicville brand for their salad dressings and their barbecue sauces because they use agave instead of sugar. So mm-hmm. That's what I prefer.
So and it's really called tasty. Organicville?
Yeah, it's a brand. They have sauces and dressings.
And where can you get that?
Whole Foods, any natural food store should have them.
Okay, cool. Okay, so Organicville barbecue sauce. What's next?
So what I would do is I would simmer the tofu. I would put water and the barbecue sauce, so I'd do like maybe half a cup of water and 2 tablespoons of barbecue sauce, uh-huh. And I would simmer the tofu in that, and the barbecue sauce would sort of caramelize as it was cooking.
Oh my God!
So I was getting all this flavor, but not a lot of sodium and calories because of the way that it caramelized as it sat in the pan as it was simmering. So you just find like these little tricks to do.
Okay, let's. Well, this is good. I want to do this. So you get some barbecue sauce. You're going to put a half a cup of water and what? A half a cup of barbecue sauce. Mix that together.
No, like 2 or 3 tablespoons.
Okay, so a couple tablespoons of barbecue sauce, and you simmer. Okay, so then you slice your tofu small enough or thin enough, right, so that it can be covered or submerged by the water
yeah.
and the barbecue sauce mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And how high yeah. do you put your burner on when you're simmering it?
Well, you would bring it up to a boil, but then you would lower it to a simmer.
And then
you would just flip the tofu occasionally uh-huh. as the sauce is caramelizing.
And how long does that take you to make? How long does that take you to make?
10 minutes.
15 minutes? 10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, and then now you've got delicious tofu. Now, is that something that you could make a lot in bulk?
That's what I do, yeah. I make like a whole tub of tofu, and then see, that's the thing. It's not hard. You don't have to be lazy about it. You just have to spend maybe an hour prepping a lot of food, and then you eat off that for a couple of days. So I would make 1 cup of quinoa and I'd have that in the fridge. I would bake a couple of yams, and I'd have those in the fridge. I would have pre-cut veggies. Well, I would cut them, and I would have them sitting in the fridge. So I always had food to grab. My favorite snack foods, like red pepper, zucchini. Raw zucchini is amazing. I don't know if you know that. It's delicious. Cucumber, jicama, and I would just have these cut veggies in the fridge so I could easily just grab them and, you know, do a quick stir fry. And then I would have a bunch of tofu and tempeh in the fridge already prepared too. So it's really just a matter of spending a couple of hours on your day off prepping a bunch of food, and then it's easy to make meals throughout the day, throughout the week.
And you just throw the sweet potatoes, a whole bunch of them, inside your oven and just bake them all at the same time?
Yeah, I would literally just cut them in half and put them face down on a silicone mat and bake them at 400 for maybe 25 minutes.
Oh,
wow. And then I would just store them in the fridge.
Oh, that sounds really easy. Yep. And then the quinoa, you just boil it in water?
Yep. Or you could do it in broth, but to keep the sodium down, I usually just did it in water. And for me, I've been vegan almost 11 years, so my taste buds are super clean. So I was really happy with just simple food. And, you know, for my stir fries, I would do some spices. But I'm kind of weird. Like, I can literally just eat quinoa out of the pan without any flavoring on it at all.
Mm. You know, so you mentioned some spices, and I think that'd be helpful. Like, what are your favorite go-to spices when you need to dress up your food? For those of us who are who haven't gotten to that point yet and still really just need a lot of flavor in order to stick with a certain meal plan, tell us some of your favorite spices and how you use them.
Well, nutritional yeast is a vegan's best friend.
Mm.
So it has a very cheesy sort of umami-like flavor. So
love nutritional yeast.
Yeah. So I would sprinkle that on my tofu while I was lightly pan-frying it, or I would sprinkle that all over my salads, even just with balsamic vinegar. Like, that's all I would need for my salad dressing. And then my general go-to spices are a combination. Really, it's formed in different ethnicities. So cumin and chili powder and cayenne would be sort of a Mexican type thing. I really love curry powder and garam masala. So that's more of an Indian style kind of thing.
Oh, wow. And can you get that? The garam masala? Can you get that at any natural food grocers?
Oh, yeah. Anywhere will have that. So those are my favorite combinations. And if you're into, I'm not really into Italian food, but if you're into Italian food, like a combination of basil, thyme, and rosemary and oregano would be nice for different dishes. So that's kind of how I imagine my spice rack is sort of grouped by different ethnicities.
Beautiful. What are some must-have things, tools that every person who wants to make delicious food needs in their kitchen?
Well, you can do anything with, you know, with just a set of pots and pans, but as a chef, I love to have different gadgets and different tools. I could not live without my Vitamix and my food processor. I just love them both very much. Also, one thing that I teach people is how to make beans from scratch. So I can't live without my pressure cooker because I can make beans from scratch after they've been soaked in 12 minutes. So instead of doing canned beans, I make my beans from scratch.
Whoa. So you're saying, wow. So does that allow you to cook it at a much higher temperature? Is that why? Or how are you able to cook beans in 12 minutes? That's insane.
So
wow.
Yeah. So it's all under pressure. And I talk about this on my Blissful Chef blog. I did a whole, actually last year, each month I featured a different cooking tool and different recipes and how to use it. So if you're interested in learning about cooking better, take a look at the blissfulchef.com blog, and I had a whole month of using the pressure cooker. I make the most amazing seitan in a pressure cooker.
How do you make seitan? I mean, does it, wow, okay, here's the thing about seitan. I'm glad you brought that up, because I love seitan. Love it, love it, love it. I am not gluten intolerant. My body eats it up, and I feel great, and it's one of my favorite vegan protein sources, but I I screw up making it every time I try it. It takes me like 45 minutes and it comes out like crap. I want your tips on how do you make a really, really good, how do you make really good seitan?
Well, you should check out that blog, because even if you don't have a pressure cooker, you can do it in a pot. But for me, I think seasoning it well in the flour is really great, in the gluten flour. And what I do is I after I knead it, I wrap it in cheesecloth. So I wrap it in cheesecloth and make it really tight.
Yeah.
So that it forms like a little log, and while it's simmering, it just binds together better. So it's not all lumpy or loose. It's super dense that way.
Okay. So you said season the gluten powder. So pour the seasoning in the gluten powder. Like dry seasoning?
So I use nutritional yeast and spices and tamari and sometimes tomato paste, and I make the actual batter flavorful. And then when you're simmering it in your broth, wrap it in cheesecloth.
So you turn it into a giant log, and then you simmer that in a vegetarian or vegan broth?
Yes.
And you do that in your pressure cooker, which makes it
I do it in a pressure cooker, which makes it super dense. So it's more like dense, like tofurkey dogs or something. Like it's super dense where you can literally slice it like veggie meat.
Wow.
Like sliced meat.
So the density comes from using the pressure cooker? I got to get one of these pressure cookers. This sounds amazing.
I will teach you my ways.
Well, no. Let me help anybody who's trying to find it. So I'm on the blog right now, and to help anybody who's trying to follow along, we go to theblissfulchef.com, and then we click on blog.
Yes, but there's also a search tool in the footer of the website. So if you're looking for anything specific, you can type it there.
All right. I want to make sure that I got this right, because I want to be able to find this, and I want anybody who's listening to be able to find this. So at the very, very bottom where it says search the site, is that where they type it in?
Yes.
Okay. So where you go is you go to theblissfulchef.com, and the search bar is all the way at the bottom. Underneath where it says have a question, it says search this site. And what are the keywords that I'm going to be typing in here?
Pressure cooker seitan, if you want that specific recipe.
Yeah, definitely. Because seitan is just loaded with protein and virtually no carbs and virtually no fat. It's just one of the greatest whole food protein sources that you can get. But it's, in my experience, it's just such a pain in the butt to make that stuff. And I just wish that I could find a way to make it easy, because to make seitan and to get all this protein, you just go to the store and you buy yourself a big bag of essential wheat gluten, and it's cheap, and you've got hundreds of grams of protein that you can use that also fills your stomach, and you can make it taste delicious if you know what you're doing. Okay, so let me make sure I got this right. So I clicked on – so I typed in pressure cooker just to make it easier. Because what comes up, and tell me which one I've got here. Is it Cooking Tool of the Month series 2012?
Yeah, that'll go through all of the recipes and all the different cooking tools that
all
I
use. And there it is. Look at that. Big ass fat log of tofu right there on the first thing that comes up. How to make seitan in a pressure cooker with video. Okay, good. Fantastic. Well, I'm definitely going to be looking at this. Awesome. I'm excited. And I'm going to go get a pressure cooker. So when you get a pressure cooker, does it matter what kind of brand you get that you recommend, or just any old pressure cooker is going to do fine?
I really prefer Fagor, F-A-G-O-R, which is a German brand, I think.
Uh-huh.
That's the one I prefer, and it's the most user-friendly. And you can get them on Amazon, or usually Bed Bath & Beyond will have them.
All right. Very cool. So a Fagor pressure cooker, a Vitamix blender, a food processor, and then just your standard pots and pans kit, and you're good to go.
Yep.
get some spices, which you mentioned earlier, a big variety of spices, and you should be good. Now, I got another question for you. You know, coming from a chef, I was in Venice Beach, hanging out with another gourmet food chef, and one of his favorite tools that he swears by is you got to have a really good set of knives.
Yes, that's the most important, definitely.
So you know, I got to say, I do not have a very good set of knives. My knives couldn't even cut through earth balanced butter. I mean, they are so dull, and they suck. I mean, when I try to cut through a tomato, it just squashes it instead of cuts it in half. So, do you recommend any brands or types of knives that everybody should have?
I really feel for you, man. Knives are the most important tool, and they make everything easier. So they make prep so much faster, and they make cooking more enjoyable because nobody likes to squish, you know, your tomato when you're trying to chop it.
Well, yeah, I'm exaggerating here, but you know, they're pretty dull knives.
No, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't cut my finger if I wanted to off my knife.
So my favorite brands are typically Japanese brands. So I like Global and NHS and MAC. Those are my favorite knives. I'm definitely a Japanese knife girl, not so much a German knife girl. And you really don't need a whole set. You need three knives total. Hmm. You need your chef knife, your main knife, which would be the one that you're going to spend the money on and invest. Because it's a lifetime investment. And it makes everything so much easier and faster. So
is that what it's called? It's called a chef knife?
Yeah, I mean, there's different styles. What you're going to want to do is go to a restaurant supply store or something like Sur La Table or William & Sonoma or something like that and actually play around with the knives. They'll have a chopping block out. They'll let you hold them. They'll let you chop with them. You need to find one that fits well for your hand and everything.
Okay, so the chef knife, that's usually... That's like the big knife that you use, right? It's about 8 inches long or 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main knife. Okay, so that's your chef knife. You got that. All right. So go Japanese.
You really don't need one that long. If you're doing vegetarian vegan cooking, there's just no point in having one that long. The one I have is like 7 inches. So I'm not for those really huge ones. They're just kind of a waste of space.
All right, so I'm looking right now, just since we're having this conversation, I'm going online right now. The first website that came up, you can buy a 7-inch Global knife. It looks all sharp. I mean, it looks all hot, too. It's like real stylish. $110 for a nice knife like that.
Spend the money, get a good one. The other two knives you need is a serrated knife, like a bread knife. Those will help with tomatoes. That could be any brand. Doesn't need to be fancy.
Okay.
And then you need a paring knife, which is the smaller baby knife for doing smaller jobs. So that's all you need. You don't need a full set. You don't need the steak knives because you're not eating meat anymore. You just need those three knives.
So, like the serrated knife. Okay, a long time ago, I think my wife really was compelled after she saw the Ginsu knife commercial. So she got herself one of those Ginsu knives, and I know it's serrated. So that would work. That would be cool.
Uh huh.
All right, and then the paring knife. Can that be any brand too, or do you recommend the Japanese Global?
That can be any brand. I usually suggest people go to Ross or Marshall's or some other sort of discount store for a lot of your kitchen tools, especially if you don't have kitchen tools to begin with. If you go to one of those discount stores, you save a lot of money, and you can get a lot of good quality stuff and stainless steel pots and pans and, you know, different kinds of knives. They don't have, like, the nice knife. You'll have to go somewhere or get it on Amazon, but a lot of kitchen tools can be found at discount stores.
Oh, this is such good info. Good. So you just need three knives, and only one of them needs to be the highest quality. Japanese, and you mentioned the brands before, so you're going to be spending your money on that. And then the other two, the serrated and the paring knife, those doesn't matter where you get them from. They can just be basic, no-name type of brand. You can get them at the discount stores too, and it'll do just great. It'll do just fine.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so now – another thing, how do you maintain your knives? I mean, do you sharpen your knife ever? And if you do, how do you do it?
Well, when you have a good quality knife, you don't have to worry about sharpening them as much as long as you take care of them. So I get mine professionally sharpened once or twice a year. That's it.
And how do you do that? You got to send it in the mail and then they send it back to you, or do you go to a place to get them sharpened?
Yeah, there's a couple places in town that do it within a couple of hours.
So what do you do? How do you find these places? Do you go on the internet and just type in knife sharpening to find these places? Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And is it expensive?
Any restaurant supply store will do it.
Any restaurant supply store?
Like Sur La Table, William and Sonoba, places like that. And a lot of farmers markets will have a guy there that does it.
No kidding. Wow. All right. Now, is it something that you got to give to them and then you pick it up a couple days later, or do they do it right there on the spot and you can have your knives back the same day?
It's usually the same day, even a few hours.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you giving me this information because, you know, this is from a non-chef person, and I know my wife doesn't know this, so I don't know if this is common knowledge, but I didn't know these things. So maybe, you know, we've been working with dull knives all along and we could have just had them gone and get them sharpened. I think what our tendency is just knives don't cut as well anymore. Time to throw the knives out and get new ones.
No, go get them sharpened.
I didn't realize it was that easy. All right, very cool. So I've got another couple questions for you since we're on the topic of cooking tools and things. You know, first of all, how did you become a chef?
Basically, I went vegan. A friend showed me a horrific video on factory farming, and I went vegan. And at the time, there wasn't a ton of restaurants. There wasn't a ton of vegan, quote-unquote, vegan foods.
How long ago was that?
I started teaching myself how to cook. Almost 11 years.
11 years you've been vegan?
Yeah.
Wow. And you went vegan because of what you saw in the video. So ethically, you couldn't eat any more animal products.
Right. I couldn't contribute to that death and violence anymore. So I just started teaching myself how to cook. I never grew up cooking next to my grandparents or anything like that. I talk about this in other interviews, how that sort of thing passed down has sort of lost on my generation. A lot of people didn't grow up cooking next to their parents and grandparents. So that's one reason why I switched more to education rather than being a chef and actually cooking food for people. I'm more about empowering and educating others to do it themselves because we never really got that experience. And I really believe cooking your own food is the path to health. So I got online and looked up recipes and just started making food and discovered that that's what I wanted to do. So I went to a natural foods cooking school here in Austin called the Natural Epicurean.
Great. So you went to
and the rest is history.
So you went to school to become a chef, and now you teach the world how to make delicious, healthy food. Speaking of healthy, I got a question about pans. You know, the majority of the pans that are out there and the pans that we've owned before we knew anything about it are those Teflon covered pans. You know, those non-stick pans, and I just found out that that when you cook food on it, flecks of that Teflon come off of it, and that's how it makes it non-stick. You're getting that on your food. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not the best. I think technology is getting better, and if you use those properly and you don't overheat them and you're not using metal on them, you know, there's worse things in the world that can harm you. What I tell people is, you know, not everybody can just switch over their whole kitchen right away. And, you know, you can move towards using better cookware, and we all have to take our steps. And some people, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather somebody eat plant foods than worry about their pans. But yeah, you definitely want to take care of them. I've read
that stuff is seriously toxic. Like I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I read, this is many years ago, that the Teflon itself, that it's toxic enough that it's been known to kill parakeets that are sitting in the same room.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the best.
Now, this
but there are companies,
and this
there
is
are
parakeets
companies out there
that aren't, and not by putting them in the pan and then cooking them, that would be horrible, but just by sitting in the room and being in the same space where the pan is being used for cooking.
Yeah, they're definitely not the best.
So,
but there are companies out there that make non-stick pans that are non-toxic.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I know a lot of us are really concerned with the health, and really we want to just make sure we're not putting any chemicals into our body. And the last thing we want is to have the fear that every single time we cook something, we're eating Teflon. So what are some other types of pans and pots that you can buy that you can cook and not have to worry about that?
Well, if you get stainless steel, you don't have to worry about that. Good old cast iron is great. And like I said, there are other companies out there that are making more environmentally friendly pots and pans.
Well, we just bought a big pan the other day. And I've never seen anything like this before. Well, only because I'm not hanging out at these stores and looking at what the latest and greatest is in cutlery, but food prep equipment. But you tell me, we bought this one. It caught our eye, and it was a ceramic plated or a ceramic covered frying pan, and the top of it, the surface is pure white, and it's got a very smooth, slippery surface. Is that good?
Yeah, ceramic pans are becoming really popular.
Now, do you have? Is there any risk of getting any toxins from the ceramic surface, or is that pretty much inert?
I really don't know.
I
haven't really done a lot of research on every single type of pan, so I'm not sure.
You don't
but
know.
They do seem to be better.
You don't know every single type of pan that's ever been created and what their features and benefits are?
No, sorry.
What kind of resource are you? Okay, well, fair enough. The Teflon thing, I mean, when I read that a long time ago and talking to you now, just it brings it up. That's the main one. And I think if there's any way that we can make sure that when we're cooking, we're not also adding low levels of toxins or even high levels of toxins to our body, that would be better. So any suggestions I can get on that side would be wonderful.
And we're going to end it right there. Thank you so much for listening. So that ends part two of our interview with Christy Morgan. In the next episode, Christy is going to reveal exercise by exercise, set by set, rep by rep, even weights in some cases, exactly how she worked out to achieve the body that she did to be able to compete on stage at the Naturally Fit Super Show in Austin, Texas, and look absolutely amazing. So don't miss that. That's in the next episode. If you want to learn more about Christy, remember, she is also known as the Blissful Chef. So you can find her book, Blissful Bites, at national book retailers all over the country, as well as Amazon.com. And her website is wellnessreboot.com. If you haven't already, make sure that you get your very own copy of the 30-page Vegan Muscle Building Guide, where I show you how I gained over 10 pounds in just 28 days on the simplest, most easy vegan meal system that I have ever experienced. You can do it too. Go to veganmusclebook.com. Also, feel free to join in on the conversation that's happening right now on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. Post up your questions. What's going on with you? Do you need help? Do you have any suggestions for other episodes? What topics do you want to hear about? We want to hear from you. You can also send me an email at tom@veganbodyrevolution.com. Also, if you haven't already and you feel that this episode deserves 5 stars, please write us a review on iTunes. It helps us get up there and get noticed. So other vegans and non-vegans can learn exactly how to achieve the body of their dreams on a 100% plant-based diet. So I thank you so much again for tuning in. This is your host of the Vegan Body Revolution Show, Thomas Tadlock, and I will catch you on the next podcast.